want to come in the service to an explanation, in a way, of what we as Christians believe. And we've heard about baptism tonight. We've explained that it doesn't make a person a Christian. We have heard Sue's testimony. We've seen the baptism. But I wonder, are you any clearer about the truth of Christianity? Do you understand what has been happening here tonight? You might even ask, is Christianity really relevant in our day and generation? After all, it's 2,000 years since Jesus Christ walked this earth. Well, I want to try in the next short while to try to help you to understand that Christianity is totally up to date and that it is totally relevant in our day and generation. In fact, I would go as far as to say that Christianity is the most relevant thing that any of us could give our time to. And I'm not talking here about different forms of church life. I am talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because essentially that is what Christianity is all about. Phil read a second reading tonight when I was getting changed from Matthew chapter 11, and it is that reading that I want us to go to. So if you want to follow what I'm talking about tonight, perhaps you could open your Bibles at Matthew 11. And in particular, I want to read again just verse 28. And I want us to concentrate our thoughts on that. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but being a typical Welsh family, we were sent to chapel. And this is one of the first Bible verses I ever remember learning. I didn't learn it because I was taught it, but because it was written in a chapel near to our village over the pulpit, obviously written in the old King James Version. But there it was, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This can be broken up clearly into three sections. First of all, there is a command, come to me. Secondly, there is a concern, and it's a concern that God has for everyone, all who labor and are heavy laden. And thirdly, there is a commitment or a promise, and I will give you rest. Now, what I want to do tonight is to begin with the concern. So to begin with that middle statement. Because what I want to do is to show you that Christianity is all about God's concern. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Why did Jesus say this? What did he mean when he was saying this? Because all of us read different things, or we hear different things, and we load into it our understanding. We hear something and we think it means this. And words change over the years. So what I want to do tonight is to actually look at these words and to try to see the concerns and the interests that the Lord Jesus Christ had in the people who were listening to him and in us tonight. Now, many of us might think, why is Jesus interested in us? Well, he's interested in us because he's our creator. He is our maker. And for many of us here tonight, he is our savior. He is the one who came into the world to save us. So his concern is that there are people in the world today who labor and are heavy laden. They are struggling with life. They feel as though they are carrying an incredible weight. Sue made reference, didn't she, tonight, of the situation that she went through while Ted was suffering his final illness. And that's just one example of the pressures and the problems that we face. Jesus looked at this crowd and he could see people who were exhausted. Today, we'd say that they were suffering burnout. Life became too heavy for them. Heavy laden, an expression that means they felt as though they were carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. And you talk to a lot of people today, and they give you the impression that they are responsible for all the pressures that there are in the world. They have to try and solve it. Maybe you feel like that tonight, that things are so overwhelming that you can't cope with life. How am I going to get through this? Well, Jesus actually addresses these people, and Matthew, who wrote this gospel, explains why these people had got to this position. And I want to show you that in verses 20 to, verses 16 to 19 to begin with, Jesus shows these people that they were never really satisfied. In verses 20 to 24, there were people who had listened to Jesus, and effectively they were saying, we've never been wrong. And then thirdly, in verses 25 to 30, there's a group of people who have never had peace. So these people who were never satisfied. And we see this in verses 16 to 19. And he says, what are you like? What are you really like as people? And he uses an illustration of children playing in the marketplace. And some of them want to play weddings, and somebody plays a flute, but we don't want to play that game, and they won't dance. Others say, oh no, so-and-so's died, so let's play funerals. But people say, no, I don't want to be so sad. And in effect, Jesus is saying, that's what you're like. There's no satisfaction. But he doesn't simply use it as a word picture. He isn't simply looking at the children who he may have been looking at there in the marketplace. But he says, I'm not simply talking about children. I'm talking about your attitudes. And he compares himself with John the Baptist, a preacher who was in fact his cousin and who had prepared the way for Jesus. And he says, look, when John the Baptist came, he actually preached that you must repent. You must stop drinking. You must stop being gluttonous. And you said about him, in verse 18, he has a demon, because he is not prepared to enjoy the things that there are in this world. And let's be honest, years ago in our country, if anybody went to chapel, it was said about them, oh, those people who go to chapel, they don't do this, they don't do that. You know, they're real killjoys. But Jesus said, that's what you thought of John the Baptist, and you weren't happy with him. But he said, me, I'm the Son of Man. I have come into the world. I preach the same message as John the Baptist, but I have a different approach to life. I'm quite happy to turn up at parties. I'm quite happy when somebody invites me to their home. And there may be tax collectors there. There may be immoral women there. There may be those who have turned away from God. But I'm happy to go. And I'm happy to talk with them. And yet, what do you say about me? He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. He said, well, what do you want? Do you want somebody who says you shouldn't do this? Or do you want somebody like me who says that it's perfectly okay to do these things and to go in amongst these people? That's what Jesus was facing. But is it any different today? You know, no matter what we do as Christians, there is always somebody who is ready to criticize. Oh, killjoys. Never got a smile on his face. Never happy. And then others, you can't think that he's a Christian. Look at the way he dresses. Last week I saw him coming out of the pub. And do you know, I even saw him talking to those women on the street corner. Nothing changes, is there? Some people are never satisfied. Why? Well, because they want a form of religion that they have designed. And they want us to say, God is love. And he is. I thank God tonight that the Christian message is through and through about love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the love of God is always contrasted with the holiness of God, with the justice of God, with the righteousness of God. And you might be here tonight and you're just not satisfied with your life or with what experience you have had of religion. But then in verses 20 to 24, he talks about people and effectively saying, you're never wrong. He's talking about these cities, isn't he? He talks about Chorazin and Bethsaida. And if you look in these verses, in verse 20, Jesus is effectively saying that he'd worked mighty miracles in these places, but people were not prepared to repent. And then he compares these cities within Israel to cities of Tyre and Sidon, outside of Israel. And he says, those cities, if they had heard my message, they would have repented. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, if you're not prepared to repent, you're actually saying, I've never done anything wrong. Anybody here tonight can say that? Never done anything wrong? Perhaps we won't go that far, but we will say, well, I'm as good as him. I'm no worse than her. And we compare ourselves with other people. And I say, amen, I agree with you. You're no worse than him. You're no worse than her. But we, and I include myself in that, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We each need to repent. Friends, visitors, church members, the church exists to tell people that we've all sinned. But Jesus Christ came into the world to deal with our wrongs and to make us right with God. God is concerned because people are never satisfied. They're never wrong. But this last section, verses 28 to 30, it shows us people who are never at peace. Friends, you walk the valleys of South Wales, and you talk to the people. Sometimes you don't even need to talk to them. You only have to watch them.
They're agitated. They're on the move. They're brittle. They're doing this, they're doing that.
You don't only have to go up the valleys to see it. Stand on any street corner and just watch the people walking past. I love doing that. I love just watching people. So many of them, though, don't even walk. Although they're just going to the shops, they're not walking, they're scurrying. They're driven. I've got to get there. I've got to get this done. I've got to get home. I've got to get what I'm after. There are desires, there are longings, there are cravings. But there is no peace. And what am I saying? I'm saying people in the New Testament, in the days of Jesus, were no different from the people in Newport in 2013. We all have our problems. Never satisfied. Never wrong. Never at peace. But God is concerned. God isn't in heaven at a distance. God is everywhere present. God is here tonight. We do not see him. Some of us will be aware of his presence. Other of us will say, no, I'm not sure. But I want us now to look at God's commitment. Because he says, I understand the struggles that you're going through. But I'm committed. I'm committed to this. I will give you rest. Do you want rest tonight, friends? Do you want peace that passes all understanding? Christ is saying in this short statement that he is able to free us from all the demands that drive and trouble us. How, Bernard? How is he able to do this? Well, the answer is found in these verses here, surrounding verses 28 and going on into verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, if you know what a yoke is, there are two ideas in this word yoke. Years ago, people carrying buckets would carry a yoke across their shoulders, and it would be made of wood, it would be heavy, but it would be made to fit on their shoulders, and there would be a bucket either side, and they would be balanced. That's one picture of a yoke. But the picture that Jesus is using is not that yoke. It is a yoke that was put on two animals when they were pulling a plough or pulling a cart. And you see this sort of thing even today in underdeveloped countries where they still use beasts of burden. And this yoke was put across the two animals so that they could work together and they could share the burden. And what is Jesus saying? He says, I want you to get yoked up to me. I want you to come alongside me. He, in effect, is saying, there will still be work to do in your life. You will not, as it were, give up everything and all effort, but I will be the one who will help you. And he's saying, in the Christian life, there are responsibilities to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he's also saying is that becoming a Christian is the beginning of a new life and a new experience. Every Christian here tonight will tell you that when they became a Christian, things changed. Lynn and I were chatting this afternoon and we were talking about hymns and songs that we used to sing when we were younger Christians. And one was a bit of a ditty, but it had wonderful truth. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. And that is what Jesus is saying here. That if you a yoke to me, your life will be changed. and I will be there to help you. Now, we don't in this country see animals yoked together, but sometimes if you're driving out in the countryside, you will see a horse trainer, and he or she has got two horses. She's walking alongside with a larger horse and a smaller horse. And what she's doing, she's breaking the younger horse, getting the younger horse used to wearing a bridle, perhaps used to wearing a saddle before a rider actually gets on it. And why has she got an older horse and a younger horse? Because the trainer is trying to say to the younger horse, trust the older one, because he's been through this. He knows what we are doing. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says to everybody here tonight. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I will carry the weight for you. I will help you when you face the challenges of your life. I know those concerns that you have been through. Friends, Jesus is the eternal God. He could have stayed in heaven and remained without sin. He could have enjoyed the glory of heaven, the praise of angels, and still have remained holy and without fault. But he came into the world. He humbled himself. He became an embryo. He was born, as we all are. He grew into manhood. But there was one difference between him and all of us here tonight. He didn't fail. He didn't get to that point in life where he was never satisfied. He never got to the point where he was wrong, because he had never done anything wrong. He had never sinned. He'd never broken God's law. He knew what it was to have peace with God. So when Jesus went to the cross, he had no need to go to the cross, because the cross is a punishment for sin. But Jesus was without sin. So why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross because he was carrying your yoke. He was carrying my yoke. He was saying, this is going to crush you, but I will take it for you. But the facts are, friends, it crushed him. Jesus died. Why? Because you have sinned, and because I have sinned. He took the punishment for our sin. He was buried. End of the story. No, it wasn't. He conquered death. He rose from the grave. And in effect, he then took hold of the yoke again. And he said, those of you who have known the yoke that is crushing you, I will lift it. I will carry it for you. In fact, I've carried it, I've broken it, and I will carry you. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. And he did it not for himself, but for his people. Not for perfect people, but for everybody who will come to that point of saying, I failed. I've blown it. I've done wrong. I need peace. And Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. Do you want rest? Do you want peace with God? Do you want the assurance that your sins are forgiven? Well, we come to what is the first statement of this verse, but it is my final point in this message tonight. God's command, come to me. Phil, when he was praying tonight, took this statement as I took it when I was beginning to prepare this week, and saw it as God's invitation. Because that's what it looks like, doesn't it? Come to me. But if we refer to it as an invitation, we treat it as take it or leave it, don't we? Like a birthday invitation. Come to my party. And we say, oh, sorry, I'm busy. Friends, this isn't an invitation. This is what has been going on in the Mediterranean in the last few days. People drowning and the rescue boats coming alongside them and saying, get in the boat! Get in the boat! Come to me! It's a command. Friends, if you were in the Mediterranean tonight, you've been struggling, would you say, oh, well, no, I don't need your help? You'd get in the boat, wouldn't you? And that is what Christ is saying to us tonight. Get in the boat. Why? Because he will carry you to safety. There is peace. There is rest. There is forgiveness. But there is peace. There is rest. There is forgiveness in no other. At the beginning of this passage, Jesus compared himself to John the Baptist. John the Baptist never once said, come to me. He always said, look to Jesus. Friends, I have spent virtually all of my adult life preaching the glorious gospel. I don't say to you, come to me. I say to you, come to Christ. Come to the one who has carried my burdens for nearly 50 years. Come to him. The people in these different cities said, we've never done anything wrong. And people in Newport tonight say, we've never done anything wrong. But the cross of Jesus Christ, we don't have a cross in our church, but it is central to our message. The cross of Jesus Christ says, we've all done something wrong. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore we need to come to him. We must come under his yoke. We must come to him in faith. Yes, it will mean repentance. It will mean admitting that you have done wrong. But friends, if you are prepared to say to Christ, I've done wrong, do you know what he does? You mightn't like this picture, but he takes his blood and he washes away your sin. Not part of it, but all of it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Come to me. Come tonight. Come in faith. Come that you might get rest. Peace with God. No longer trying to reach the grade. No longer trying to achieve it on your own. Christ has done it. And if you feel as though you can't live the Christian life, Christ will carry you. He'll sustain you. He will lead you forward. What is the alternative? Continued toil and labor, which will not only last in this life, but will last to eternity. So, has Sue been made a Christian today? No. I'm not sure when that happened in her life. But she came in response to that prayer that she'd been told to offer. She became a Christian when God the Holy Spirit came into her life and changed her heart. She was aware that she became a Christian when she trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus. Has life become simple and straightforward?
No.
There are still problems. But there is someone else alongside her to carry that. The command tonight is, come to me. The commitment is, I will give you rest. And the concern is that you're weak and heavy laden. You're laboring under the burden. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you've never come, you must come. And we pray that you will, and that you will find that peace and rest which Christ alone can give. So let's conclude our service by singing our final hymn, the hymn 544.